So Sif Vav, the Gemara says Derech Bishul Asra Torah. Asa B'chalav is only Asra Midoraisa Derech Bishul. And we derive a number of halachos from that. Number one is that it's only if you actually cook it. So Lafuke Kavosh, for example. Another is that there's only an Isra Basa B'chalav if there's Nesinas Tam. So the question arises, what about if there is no actual basar and chalav, but blios? Can basar b'chalav d'oraisa be created al yedei blios? So there's actually two variations of this question. One is blios plus blios. There's neither be'en of basar or chalav. And two is if you have be'en of basar plus blios of chalav, or the reverse. So we'll first try the more extreme case.
Is there blue button?
Get there. Blios plus blios, is there basar b'chalav? So, one source we already alluded to is the chumrah of the Ramah that says that you shouldn't stoke the coals underneath a pot, and the way the Shach understands that means to say that if you have a basar b'chalav pot, cooking water, you still should not cook the stove. You should not stoke the coals underneath it. Now the implication then is that there is bishul basar b'chalav, even though there's only bliyoshel basar bliyoshel chalav. There's neither basar nor chalav there. However, that might not be a raya on a d'oraisa level because, as we already noted, that whole din is a chumrah ba'alma.
How do you know there's no basar chalav in there?
The Shach says so.
The Ramah doesn't say that.
How does the Shach know? It's a good question. So, the Shach might be a Chiddush, but if you look at the Makor and the Shilta Gibor Mana Mordechai, that's the implication. It's pretty clear. So, b'Makor HaDavar, the Shach seems to be correct. So, that being the case, since it's only a Chumra Be'alma, so maybe it's not a Raya. And in fact, as we noted before, the post can discuss, why is it a Chumra Be'alma? So, the Plesi, which is cited in the Prima Gadim, says that the reason why it's a chumrah be'alma is precisely this reason. Since basically the food is parva, and it's only blios of basar and blios of chalav, it's ein derech bishul b'kach. But in a chanami then, it might be mikra din, if you had the gaya shapat that has blios of basar and you're cooking chalav or the like. Well, leaving aside the nekuda nefla issue. So, however, the Imre Baruch on the Shach writes that the reason why it's a Chumra Be'alma is because when that the requirement to be Choshish for all this and then to get two separate pots, one Milchix, one Fleishix, that's a Chumra Be'alma. But if you actually knew this happened, in other words, you knew that there was a Gayish pot that was balua bebasar and balua bechalav and ben yomo, then stoking the coals underneath it would actually be a problem. So, depending on how you understand the reason why it's a chumra ba'alma, there may or may not be an iser bishul if you have blios plus blios. What about if you have blios of basar plus chalav, or blios of chalav plus basar? So the post can say, in this case, it is basar b'chalav d'oraisa. This is the view of Isser v'heter klal lamed din hei, cited in the Sifsei Das Yod Ches and Rabbi Akiva Eger in Tshuva Simen Reish Zayin. And the truth is that from the Gemara in Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, it really sounds that way. Because the Gemara in Kuf Ches Amud Aleph says that everybody assumes, right, Abaye says, time of Loma Masha, be'almas d'oraisa, and he derives it from the Mishnah. So it sounds like everybody agrees that you say Tam Ke'ikar De'oraisa by Basar B'chalav. However, that's not a Mukhrach Raya, because maybe, even though yes, the Gemara does indicate that Taim Ovelo Mamasho is De'oraisa by Basar B'chalav, maybe that's only a Taim Ovelo Mamasho where there's actually Mamish, right? Like a drop of milk falling into a piece of meat, like actually the case of the Mishnah. If you remember back from our Simen Tzadi Ches days, if you have a chelev nimoach or milk dropping into meat or the like, that too is only a din of tam kikar, according to many Rishonim. That too is considered time of the lo mamasho. So yes, it's true. Everybody agrees time of lo mamasho is aser mideoraisa for bas b'chalav. But what is time of lo mamasho? Could be that the only type of time of lo mamasho that's aser mideoraisa by bas b'chalav is like the case of the Mishnah, tipas chalav, shenafa l'chatichas basar. Now, if you remember also back from our tzadiches days, this might be a machlokas, this question, whether you have basar b'chalav deoraisa, if you have blios of chalav and basar, blios of basar and chalav, might be a machlokas rishonim. The Rashba, Tzadi Chesamad base, writes that according to Rashi, that tam ki'ikar is lav mideoraisa, as well as other rishonim, so there would be no iser deoraisa to stir a meat pot with a milchik spenyomo spoon. But if you hold tam kicker deoraisa, it would be aser mideoraisa to stir a milchik pot with a fleshik benyomo spoon. So it sounds like what the Rashba is saying is that this question of whether there's bishul basar b'chalav deoraisa with blios of basar with chalav is totally in the machlokas of tam kicker deoraisa. And if you take a look, the Plesi in Tzadiches base says that this doesn't make sense. How could this be? Everybody agrees tam kicker is deoraisa for basar b'chalav. So what is the Rashba talking about? And the answer is, like we said, as the Chassam Sofer points out, that no, when is it basar b'chalav? When do we say tam kicker is vade deoraisa for basar b'chalav? That's when there's a tipas chalav. And the Chassam Sofer says, therefore, this is going to be totally in the machlokas of tam kicker. In other words, even though tam kicker is deoraisa by basar b'chalav, the geder of tam kicker for basar b'chalav will depend on whether you hold of tam kicker deoraisa or lav deoraisa. And the idea is that blios have no bearing if you hold tam kicker lav deoraisa, and memela you'll be pater for basar b'chalav. So if you take a look at the Pischei Tshuva, Sif Katan Hei in Simen Tzadiches, he talks a lot about this. The Chassam Sofer even thinks maybe if you hold tam kicker lav deoraisa, still you need mamasha shel chalav, and certainly if you hold tam kicker lav deoraisa. And Ayin Sham back in Simen Tzadiches where we discussed this question. The next question is, well, what about Sli? Is Sli a violation of basar b'chalav mideoraisa? So some want to say that this is Tali in the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos on Sanhedrin Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara there has a debate whether Yesh Eim LaMikra or Yesh Eim LaMesores. So it would be more Basar B'chalav in one sense, but the question is, when the Pasuk says Lo Savashel, maybe Bishal is Dafka. So maybe this is Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. The Gemara over there says, ah, I have a proof Yesh Eim LaMikra. Why? Because if you don't hold Yesh Eim LaMikra, so maybe the Isser should be Basar and Chalev. Lo Sivashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. Maybe it's Chalev Imo. So, obviously we hold you can't cook meat and milk. Must be that we hold Yesh Eim LaMikra. And the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Why? Derech B'Shel Asra Torah. So what does that mean? So the way Rashi says that means is that if you were to use chalev and gedi and basar, that wouldn't be bishul. What would that be? That would be tzli. That would be frying, right? If you took chalev and basar together. So from the fact that the Torah uses the word lo sivashel, we know that it means chalev. And that's going to be true whether you hold yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesores. So you see from Rashi that the word lo sivashel means bishul mamish, meaning to say cooking in a liquid. So cooking meat in milk. But sli, presumably, according to Rashi, is not lo sivashel. It wouldn't be bas b'chalav deoraisa. If you look at Tosfos, Tosfos over there is a different explanation of the Gemara. And according to Tosfos, the indication would be that sli is bas b'chalav deoraisa. However, the Pri Chadash in our Simon, Sifkat and Beis says, no, that's impossible. Everybody has to agree that Sli is deoraisa. And he says we have psukim that indicate that the term bishul can refer to Sli. One of them is the pasuk by Vashlu es ha-Pesach. Now, when the pasuk says by Vashlu es ha-Pesach, it doesn't mean they were mevashel the Pesach, it means they were tzola the Pesach, kedin Torah. And yet, the Torah uses the word bishul. So we see that the word bishul is not coming lafuketzli. Aye, what about Rashi? He says Rashi means the following. If it were to be chelev, it shouldn't have used the word lo sivashel, because stam bishul isn't sli. But in a chinami, bishul does include sli. And the Pichadish brings a kavachomer. He says, we have a kavachomer from Me'ushan. We'll see later on that the Shulchan Aruch writes, Me'ushan is pater aval aser, and the source for this, as the Magen Mishnah points out, is that it's a baya delo ifshita, so safek deraisa l'chumra, whether ishun is bishul or not. Now, if ishun might be bishul, so kol shekein v'kol shekein sli is bishul. Meaning to say, in the case of smoking, so we'll have to actually define what is smoking in a moment, not clear, but the way the Pri Chadosh assumes smoking is that there is no liquid, right? There's no liquid with smoking. However you want to imagine it, you want to say it's a piece of meat next to a piece of cheese on top of smoke, or it's or the like, well, there's no liquid there. There's no liquid, so if you're going to say that you need a liquid, of course Ishan should be pater. Now, again, maybe you could get out of that raya if you define Ishan in a particular way. We'll get to the definition of Ishan later. But the simple understanding of Ishan is there's no liquid. And if you're going to hold that you need liquid to be chayav d'oraisa, of course Ishan is pater. So al karchecha, everybody agrees that sli is chayav.
Where did the Ashan come from?
What?
Ashan comes from liquid in the 18, no?
No. Ashen is smoke. There's no liquid.
What is
smoke is not steam. Maybe steam. We're going to talk about steam.
What is smoke? It's not steam. We're just going to let
it. If you burn something, it releases smoke. I don't know. Ask a scientist what it is. But it's not a liquid.
It's actually by Shida, by tuna, right? The Gemara in Chavs has the water particles inside the wood are what's released to create the steam.
Steam that's released from wood might be water. Might be water particles. But that's not what smoke is.
There's
a difference.
There's a different thing.
So, I mean, hear what you're saying. I don't think that's like it. It's definitely not water. It's definitely not water. And that being the case, anyway, then half of roasting, oh, there's also smoke going on in roasting.
Maybe.
Dechia, but I don't think that's very likely. Okay. So the Pri Chadosh says everybody must hold that roasting is d'oraisa. However, even the Pri Chadosh has to admit that there is at least one Rishon who seems to assume that roasting isn't d'oraisa. Who is that Rishon? The Ran. If you remember, when we did the famous Ran on Chanan, the Ran said that we hold of Chanan b'shari surim when it could be similar to a case that would be d'oraisa by Basar B'chalav, because Chanan b'shari surim is a gzeira atu Chanan b'basar b'chalav. And therefore, he says, there's no such thing as chanan for a klipa. Why? Because there's no such thing as bishul basar b'chalav that's a klipa's asar. Now, one second. Tzli. Tzli is a klipa, that's asar, according to the Ran. Stopping. But, so how could you be? It's clear that the Ran holds that tzli is not d'oraisa, meaning to say, the Ran says, again, the question is, why do we not have to worry about chanan b'shari surin if there's only a klipa? So Tosa says ein hanasar, and Ireim says we only say chanan for a half a chaticha. The Ran says because since there's no such thing as a klipa for basar b'chalav, there's no gzeira d'rabbanan of chanan b'shari surin. But tzli would create a nisar klipa, and yet clearly the Ran holds that there is no bishul basar b'chalav d'oraisa for tzli. So what do the poskim say? Lamaisa, the Chavostas Sifkat Nalef says Tzli is not min haTorah. The Pischei Tshuva Sifkat Gimel cites the Minchas Yaakov that Tigun is not min haTorah for the same reason. Meaning to say, we're not talking about frying in oil or deep frying. We're talking about a dry fryer with minimal oil. So that's not the Oraisa. And this is a Nafkamina. So one Nafkamina is our McDonald Shaila, right? If you hold, we know that we paskin that there's no iser bishul for basar b'chalav, that's not d'oraisa. So if you want to flip burgers at McDonald's or Burger King, so that's tzli. So you know, they don't boil the hamburgers, they roast them on a griddle or on a grate. So memela, Right, so if you hold like the Mekilim, if you hold like the Mekilim, like against the Prichadash, if you hold like the Chavos Das, so it would be mutter to work in McDonald's. But, what? There's no Isser, Basar Bach, there's no Isser Bishel for Basar Bachal of the Rabbanan.
Why not Bachal of the Rabbanan? It's Basar Bachal of the Isser.
No, if there's no, it's Tzli.
Tzli is also the Rabbanan.
The Isser of cooking Basar Bachalav.
Tzli is an Isser Rabbanan, not Bishel.
No.
Tzli is not Basar Rabbanan, correct or not correct?
No, I don't know.
There's no Isser Rabbanan for the Chavos Das?
Every, one?
If Tzli, if they eat Tzli, Basar Bachalav is an Isser Rabbanan, then the cook.
Once I hear what you're saying, I hear what you're saying. I think the answer is the answer.
You just choose to do it this way. I could make the basmati, I could cook it together.
So I think So I think that's what the poskim assume. I think the poskim assume that any time you're the chefta you created is only basar b'chalav of derabanan, then there's no iser bishul whatsoever.
But what poskim?
That, I don't remember who says that, but. So if you assume that's an iser bishul. Right, in Achinami. I think Rabbi Sabalovsky said that his bechina for the Kol Elyon with Rabbi Bleich was, is it permissible to work at McDonald's? I was actually asked this question twice, remarkably. So one of the things he was supposed to talk about, the Nekuda Nefla, and this and that, but one of the things he was supposed to say is that, which he did say, he got in, I think, is that if you learn like the Chavos Das, then it should be okay. Yeah.
What is the difference between Sli and Bishul such that...
Liquid.
But isn't Chol the liquid?
Yes.
So why wouldn't that be cheese?
If you cook, why wouldn't that be... Let's say you took a piece of cheese and a piece of meat and over an open fire and you put them next to each other.
Basar in Chol itself, right?
Right. Or the cheeseburger quace. Is it even better? It's a perfect example, right? That would be Sli for Basar B'chalav, making a cheeseburger on a grill. Okay. So... Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so assuming if the meat isn't kosher, so it's nevela.
Yeah,
if the meat is kosher, so anyway, you have the if you hold the nekuda nefla, it's not basar b'chalav, al tachila, and yeah, in achinami it would be derabbanan. Okay, fine. This goes back to your owning stock in McDonald's, nafkamina. Okay. What's the halacha? So we mentioned before that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sivav that Me'ushan and Mevushal B'chamei Tveriyas ain Lokin Alav, and this is from the Rambam. So why is it? So first we'll talk about Me'ushan. So the Magid Mishnah, as we mentioned, said that it's a Baidelo of Shita and Yerushalmi in Nidarim. And therefore, ain Lokin, because it's a Safek. The Gra and the Prichadash say no, that if you look at the Yerushalmi in Shabbos, the conclusion is that Me'ushan is Chayiv Mishum Bishul. So even though it's low of Shita in Nidarim, it's of Shita in Shabbos, and therefore you are Chayiv. So the Gra disagrees with the Mechaber and the Rambam. So what would the Rambam respond? How would he come back? So one answer is maybe he would say that it's a Tolda. Yes, Me'ushan is chayiv for Shabbos. Shabbos, of course, you're also chayiv for Tzli on Shabbos, right? Me'ushan is a toldah of Bishul, and therefore, perhaps, we only have toldos for Shabbos. This is a famous machlokas. Do we say toldos b'kol tarkula? The Shita Mekubetzes at the beginning of Bava Kama quotes the Mari Katz. We do say toldos b'kol tarkula. The Taisus in Bechoros Chafeh Med Aleph says no, that we don't say toldos b'kol tarkula. Maybe it's totally in this question. Along similar lines, maybe the definition of Bishul for Shabbos is Tikkun HaMeichel al Yedei Achom. Maybe because of Toldos, or generally we define it more broadly, whereas Basar B'chalav, you need a Meis of Bishul, and anything that the Torah doesn't call Bishul is not going to be Chayev. What about Bishul B'chamei Tveria? So the Beis Yosef writes, it sounds like from the Rambam that this is also Safek D'Oraisa. That's not clear. Could be it's derabanan, but that's the way the Beis Yosef learns the Rambam. And the Gra here and the Pri Chadash also note this should be wrong. Why? Because in Hilcho Shabbos, we paskin, the Gemar Mem Amud Beis, that Mevasha B'cha makes various pater of al Aser. So therefore, there shouldn't be Bishol Vasar B'chalav. It might be Aser Midrabanan. That might go to the question we were just discussing, but it's definitely not a Safek De'oraisa. So again, the Gra and the Pri Chadash say we equate Shabbos to Basar B'chalav, and the Rambam would disagree. Why would it be different over here? So one reason to say it here, we're going in the opposite direction. In the first case, we were saying that it's Chai for Shabbos, maybe Pater for Basar B'chalav. Here we're saying it's Pater for Basar B'chalav, but maybe Chai for Shabbos. So the opposite, it's Chai for, it's Badei Pater for Shabbos, maybe Chai for Basar B'chalav. Why would that be? So one way to understand this, I think the Badei HaShulchan writes, is because Shabbos we have a requirement of Dumya L'Mishkan. In Hachinami, if you cook with Chamei Tveria, so the results are all the same. You have a pot of boiling meat and milk, and it looks exactly like Basar B'chalav. The Ptur for Shabbos might be because it's not Doma L'Mishkan, since that requirement doesn't apply to Basar B'chalav, at least as it's sad, that you would be Chayev. And as we talked about earlier, so here we have a machlokas whether we're medame Shabbos to Basar B'chalav. The Gra says yes, the Rambam seems to say no, or at least the Magid Mishnah says no. And we talked about, just because they debated here, they might agree that in other aspects that we don't compare. Now we have to ask, what is Me'ushan? So it's a little strange. My first question when I read Me'ushan, I imagined, what's Me'ushan? You have a fire, you have smoke coming up from the fire, and hanging over the smoke is this Basar B'chalav that you're trying to cook. Now, if that's the case, so then L'chora, the heat from the smoke comes from the fire. So that should be Tzli again. Why is that Me'ushan and not Tzli? So maybe you'll say that it's Ein Hayad Soledes Bo. But if you say it's Ein Hayad Soledes Bo, it's hard to imagine that there's even a tzad you'd be chayef for Shabbos. Remember, it's a vital ifshita by Shabbos in one place. Well, no, maybe not. That would go back to this question. But let's assume for the moment you assume that it is a shayla for Shabbos and a shayla, like the Magid Mishnah, is a shayla for Basar B'chalav. So if we're talking about Ein Hayad Soledes Bo, so even if there's, just like, except for maybe the placey, right, it's pashut that, let's say, kavush is pater on Shabbos, even if it creates the same effect, you need fire, you need heat. Here, it's hard to imagine that you would be, there's a tzad to be high for Shabbos if it's so high above the fire that it's not even Yad Soledes Bo. So, this is a machlokes haposkim. Some poskim, among them the Chedrei Deya, which is cited in the Badei HaShulchan on page 16-17, says, Al Karchachaf, because of the question that I just said, you have to say, we're talking about a cold smoke. What's a cold smoke? A cold smoke means that the smoke causes it to be cooked, not really cooked, but has the same effect as cooking, even though it's so far away from the fire, or the smoke is piped in through a pipe, that it's not actually Yad Soledes Bo. Because of my question, because if it's actually Yad Soledes Bo with the smoke, then that's Tzli, right? So if you look at the Prisha says that he gives two options. Both of them seem to be assuming that it is Yad Soledes Bo. One of them, Sifkat and Tess, Ostess, 1 second. One is, he says, that it's Nischamemu Basar B'chalav B'ashan Kimo B'chamei Tveria. So I think that means that the smoke is hot, and it's going Bishol Mamish, and why isn't that? The point is that it's far enough for the fire that we assume we see the heat as coming from the smoke and not from the fire. And therefore, yes, it's hot, right? But that's still not sleep. Sleep means that the fire, the heat comes from the fire. What's Me'ushan? Me'ushan is that the heat comes from the smoke. And therefore, my question was wrong. My question was, that's Tzli. The answer is no, it's not Tzli. Because since the heat comes from the smoke, not from the fire, I don't know exactly how you know. I guess if there was no smoke, would this be hot? If there's no smoke, it wouldn't be hot. So then we see the heat is coming from the smoke. Alternatively, he says, that, so the first case is you actually like have a pot full of milk and meat that's heated and cooked by the smoke. The second is you soak meat in water and milk, and then you put it again in the smoke and it's cooked, but it's hot either way. So what's the halacha, the bottom of the line halacha for tzli? So according to the Mechaber Tzafik, Me'ushan, according to the Mechaber Tzafik Deraisa, according to the Pri Chadash and the Gratz Vade Chayev, and others say it's an Isser Derabbanan, only an Isser Derabbanan. That's the view of the Levush, the Yavitz, Chach Masadim seems to conclude that way as well. So, L'chora we paskin like the first tzad, like the Mechaber, that it's a Tzafik Deraisa. Either way, it's Aser. So is there any nafkamina to the Shaila? Okay, maybe it's Asa Deraisa, Safek, what's a nafkamina? Truth is, it's a big nafkamina that comes up all over the place. And that's because Poskim assume that, at least it's likely, that steam and smoke actually have the same halacha. Cooking through steam and cooking through smoke have the same status. In factories, much of the cooking is actually through steam. So now, if you think that it's Bishul, it's Asa. Now, what's the nafkamina? So I'll give you a very classical nafkamina, Bishul Akum. Tuna. There are a lot of interesting halachic shalas that come up for tuna. There's no mashkiach on the boat. How do you know it's actually tuna? Right? Many poskim, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's probably, you could make it, sounds like it would be an Isser Deraisa to get the OU tuna. Because of the simanim. But another issue with tuna is how it's cooked. How is tuna cooked? It's canned and then steamed. It's actually steamed on the boats. These boats are like giant boat factories that go out in the ocean for months. That's why you can't have mashkiach there. And, or you could, but it would make it much more expensive. That's why the Gaish brands won't have a mashkiach there. It doesn't pay. And they're steamed. So, Rav Avadia writes, this is in Yabia Omer, Yoridea Chelakei Ostes, the following. He says that, look, this is a Shaila of Bishul Akum, right? Now you might say it's not Nechal al Shulchan Malachan. Not so Pashat. A, because actually tuna is a very delicious food that's very fancy. The White House, they do serve tuna steaks. You'll say, well, they don't serve tuna salad. But the answer is that freshly steamed tuna is actually a delicacy. Meaning to say, if you were to steam, this is what Rabbi Ganak said, if you were to, let's say, open up the can of tuna right after they steamed it and take out the tuna, freshly steamed tuna, delicious. It's actually a very fancy, expensive dish. Now, when it's like in a can for 3 months and you mix it with mayonnaise, so it's true, that's probably not nechal, well, might not be nechal al shulchan malachan. But since steamed tuna, which is basically what this is or might be nachal shulchan malachim, so you can't be mekel out that. Ah, but says Rav Avadia, you have another kula. What's the kula? The kula is very simple. That it's steamed. Steamed, we says, is a safek. So four basar b'chalav were machmir, safek deraisa l'chumra. Four bishalakam were mekel, safek deraban and l'kula. And therefore, starkis tuna is mutter and isn't Bishul Akum because of our Shaila. Safek de Rabbanan Lakula, that's the Kula that Rav Avadia says. And the Minchas Yitzchak Chelek Gimel Simen Chavav says he's willing to accept that bisnif, that since it's a factory and you don't know who's cooking it anyway in the life, there's a big Shaila, maybe there's no Bishul Akum in the first place over there where the people are anonymous and there's no Chash Chasna. So Bitsir of that and the fact that it's steamed, he is Mekel as well. So other poskim are machmir. Rav Yashiv is machmir for Shevet HaLevi, if you want to know, Chelek Teis, Simen Kufnan Vav is machmir. He says it's Asher because of Bishul Akum. Rav Yashiv has an interesting point. He thinks that it's Asher for a different reason. Yes, it's true, steaming maybe isn't Bishul Akum, but when you steam tuna, so there's lots of liquid in the can. The steam cooks the liquid that cooks the tuna. So that's bishul. That's not steaming anymore. So he thinks that there's a different problem. If you look at the tshuva from Rav Avadia has the incorrect metzias in terms of how tuna is steamed. He assumes that tuna is a problem, sardines isn't a problem, but that was, at least again, according to Rabbi Ganak, his metzias is wrong. Tuna is steamed in the same way as he describes sardines as being steamed. So that's okay. All right. The next similar shaila is microwaves. Is there basar b'chalav for microwaves, midiraisa? So the Badi Yashulchan is misupak. He says that maybe over here this isn't derech bishul because there's the heat doesn't come from outside. It's the liquid inside that's heated. He leaves it with the tzarchian. The Gemara in Shabbos Lama Tesvet Aleph famously says that bishul b'cham is not usher. And why is that? So Rashi writes, that's because it's not derech bishul b'kach. So everybody likes to talk about this for Dud Shemesh and microwaves on Shabbos, but a similar shaila for microwaves for Bas B'chalav. So Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, famous Tshuva, writes that Chela Gimel Simen Nun Beis, that he thinks that if it became Derech Bishol B'kach, it would be Aser. So if a microwave became Derech Bishol, at least on Shabbos, it would be chayv. And l'chora, it is derech bishul. When microwaves first came out, nobody cooked with them. Everybody used them for like heating up food. Nowadays, ma'isim b'chol yom, people cook, do actual bishul with microwaves. So maybe you would think that it's now iser d'oraisa for Shabbos, and maybe also basar b'chalav. It's not 100% clear that Rav Moshe would say you're chayv d'oraisa or basar b'chalav, because Rav Moshe thinks it's a tolda. Thinks the reason why it's chayv is because it's a tolda of bishul, once it becomes derech b'kach. Because basically the same thing is accomplished in a way that was different from the Mishkan. So depending on whether you think toldos apply to basar b'chalav, it's not automatic that it would be basar b'chalav d'oraisa according to Rav Moshe. However, Rav Elyashiv does write explicitly that it would be bishul basar b'chalav d'oraisa for a microwave because now it's derech b'kach, and therefore it would be asar d'oraisa. As I said, the Badi HaShulchan, as well as Rav Avadia and Rabbi Forst are misupik. Sefer Lahoros Nasan thinks it's an Isser Dirabana.
Okay, so the point is that not the would be to use the microwave to cook basar b'chalav?
Correct. Correct. Could you work at Dunkin' Donuts to serve basar b'chalav? In the Treif Dunkin' Donuts, so they have basar b'chalav there, but they do everything through microwaves. They don't cook anything, so can you work at... So you can't work at McDonald's or Machmir for Tzli, but you want to know now, could you work at Dunkin' Donuts? So that's going to be Tully in the Shaila.
So the kosher,
the non-kosher. Non-kosher, of course. Kosher Dunkin' Donuts, of course you could work. Mitzvah. So
there's a time to say that it's not even an Issur Derabanan.
If it's not bishul, it's not bishul. You can't eat it, obviously. But once it's not bishul, that goes back to the question before. Once we say that it's not, it wouldn't create a chetza shel bas b'chalav midaraisa, so then we're not misakin nisr derabanan of bishul. And that goes back to that question. Yeah.
I don't understand. Isn't microwave closer to tzli than bishul?
Might not even be tzli, because tzli, at least there's a heat, there's something like a fire, right, that's causing it to heat up. Here, it's ein derech bishul b'kach. It's not at all similar to what the Torah said is bishul, because there are these microwaves that heat up the moisture within the food that causes it to become hot. But there's no actual source of heat. So even if you were to say tzli is deraisa, not at all clear that this would be deraisa.
Right, so if we're makel on tzli...
I would imagine that if you're makel on tzli, you would certainly be makel here. The question is, if you're machmir like tzli, if you learn like the Pri Chadash, who says that everybody thinks that tzli is asher deraisa, what would be the din, right? So according to the Pri Chadash, you can't work at McDonald's. Well, can you work at the Treif Dunkin' Donuts? Maybe that's going to be okay, even according to the Pri Chadash. Okay. One other question that comes up from the Shaila of the definition of Bishol and Derech Bishol Asra Taira is the halacha of Bittol by Basar B'chalav. Tosfos Anida Samach Aleph Amud Beis writes that we don't have Bittol when Shneim Heter and the Torah was mechadesh that there's an iser. So for example, if you have one strand of linen mixed into a giant garment of wool, it's not batel, not b'shishim, not b'meah, not b'million. Why? Kishnam heter. Now if that's true, so then we should say the same thing by Bas B'chalav. Bas B'chalav should never be batel. Tosus says one thing, ayin sham, but the Rosh over there in Hilchos Kilei Begadim Simen Hay writes that the reason is because derech bishul asra Torah, and that means it's only naser b'chdei nesinas tam. So if it's not nesinas tam, then it's not basar b'chalav. Now Rabbi Akiva Eger points out, this is Tshuva Simen Reish Shayin, that you see from here that the reason why if you have pachos mishishim of chalav in the basar, it's mutter, is not because of bittel. If you needed bittel, there wouldn't be bittel. It's for a different reason. It's simply lav derech bishel. Derech bishel is when the milk that you're added gives tam, and here there's no tam, it's lav derech bishel. So the heter isn't alz bittel. The heter is simply, this is not basar b'chalav, this is lav derech bishel. Now, if you say that, so Rikki Vager says, maybe there should be no iser of bittel iser l'chatchila for basar b'chalav. If I want to go ahead and put a couple of drops of milk in my chalent, so assuming it's not going to affect the taste, that should be mutter. Yeah. Why would I do it if it's not going to affect the taste? I don't know.
Again,
I run out of water. I have no filtered water. And my chalent's going to be dry. I'll put in a little bit of milk instead. Right?
What if it adds texture?
So, okay, that goes back to our shaila's this texture and the like. Maybe you could clear. Maybe that is derech bishel. Right? Maybe. But let's say it doesn't add anything. Right?
It's not a problem with bishel because it's not yasser yet.
Because there's no bittel, you don't need bittel, right? There's no iser A, because there's no iser that needs to be nisbato. And anyway, the heter is not based off of bittel. The heter simply is, this is not basar b'chalav, this isn't derech bishel basar b'chalav. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that the poskim don't seem to assume this. If you look, for example, the Shulchan Aruch and Tzadi Beis Beis, the Ramah and Tzadi Tess, at the very end, and the Shach there seems to assume that we do say that it's asr l'chatchila to put milk into meat. This might get back to the question that we discussed as to why bittel isr l'chatchila is asr, assuming it's the Rabbanan, if your concern, for example, is that you'll mess up or you'll come to be lenient or the like. So maybe we'll say they were gozer here as well. It's technically, right? Technically speaking, it's not bittel, but the concerns are equally valid. And therefore, maybe it's aser derabbanan. However, the poskim do throw this in as a sniff. If you take a look at the extraordinarily creative tshuvos at the end of the Pisrei Tshuvas about various forms of cheese making and the like, you'll see that the poskim do sometimes throw in as a sniff that maybe this is not even aser al tzbitel iser l'chatchila. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch also talks about chalav zachar. What is Chalav Zachar? So the Gemara in Kuf Yud, so I don't know what Chalav Zachar is really, but Chalav Zachar is apparently Chalav that comes out of a Zachar. Okay? That sometimes happens, so they say. According to the Shach, even in humans it happens. So, what?
Gemara.
It's a Gemara?
No,
sorry?
The Gemara says that there was a...
Oh, that's a nace. That's a nace. You can't...
No, that's a Gemara. Was it a nace or not?
You're saying...
The question is a nace. The question is whether it's a different drug. It has to.
You think it's talking about an androgynous?
Oh, no.
So then it's not Zachar.
It's a real thing.
It's
a real thing.
A regular person.
A regular person. Sometimes happens. Okay, good. Great. Right, so it happens in babies because of the hormones. So you're saying that could also happen to an adult, theoretically. They get... Okay, gewaldic. Okay, so now we know what Chalav Zachar is. Fine. So what's the halacha for Chalav Zachar? So, the... Gemara in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis says the Chalev Imo v'lo b'Chalev Zachar. The Magen Mishnah is Medayik that the Rambam sounds like it's an Isser Midrabanan, and that's what the Shach Tezayin cites. The Ramah here writes though that Chalev Zachar is lo mikri Chalev Klal, and the implication from the Ramah is against the Magen Mishnah. Sounds like there's not even an Isser Midrabanan for Chalev Zachar. Why is Chalev Zachar any worse? So take a look at the Gra, Yud Zayin, it sounds like because Chalav Zachar doesn't even have a shame mashke, it's not machshir midin chalav or the like. So as opposed to, let's say, mechalav. So mechalav would be machshir. So it's true for dinei basar b'chalav, we say it's not deraisa, but therefore midrabanan it's aser, but Chalav Zachar is so far removed from chalav, they didn't even make an isidrabban. That's what it sounds like from the Gra. It's shver grup, that's what he means. I'm not sure if that's what he means. Because I don't understand. A, we needed a gzer sakasa of lamayidit. So it should be like the other ones, right? And B, in other words, without the gzer sakasa, I would have thought it was chalav, apparently.
Well,
so maybe you're saying it's mafkiyat, but then say the same thing for mechalav.
Right.
Mecha doesn't even have a Gzeiras HaKasav. The Rosh makes up a Gzeiras HaKasav, right? So why should that be a reason why it's different? And B, at least the way the Rosh over there explains that Mishnah in Machshirin, it's not Machshir because it's presumably Yatzah Shelo L'Ratzon. In other words, it's a technical reason. It's not because fundamentally it's like Mufka from Mashka. But anyhow, so that's what it seems like. It seems like the Magid Mishnah says there's an Issa D'Rabbanan, and the Rama says there's no Issa D'Rabbanan. However, the Shach doesn't want to say that. He doesn't think that the Rama would just argue with the Magid Mishnah. So he wants to say there's Takanomach locus between the Magid Mishnah and the Rama. The Magid Mishnah and the Mechaber passes like the Magid Mishnah, Issa D'Rabbanan. The Rama agrees. Well, how could that be? Because they're talking about two different types of Chalav Zachar. The Mechaber is talking about Chalav Zachar Shel Behema. The Rama is talking about Chalav Zachar Shel Adam. There's no Issa D'Rabbanan for Chalav Zachar Shel Adam. It's Lo Gara from Chalav Isha, right? So that's the Shach's Sifkat and Tezayin, that's his resolution. It's a Shver resolution, because A, Iker Chasim and HaSefer, the Ramah doesn't say Adam. B, it's Pshita, because we already said that there's no Bishul for Chalav Isha. Now I would think that Chalav Zachar Shel Adam is worse than Chalav Isha. Many of the Achronim, among them the Gra, the Megadim, the Ad Yehuda, all say that the Shach is wrong, and that according to the Ramah, at the very least, the Ramah is talking about Chalav, Zachar, Shel Behema, there's no Issa D'Rabbanan. Okay, now we get to the four Chumras of the Ramah that everybody's been waiting for. So, Chumrah number one, as we said, is not to stoke under the pot. We mentioned that the Shach says even if it's Parava, we said that it's a Chumrah D'Rabbanan. So first of all, we mentioned also the Gilyan Marshat sounds, he's Medayik from here, Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol. We said the Shach adds this is a Chumrah Be'alma, which many Achronim say it's a Chumrah Be'alma, meaning even more than the Ramah. They're all Chumras, but this is a super Chumrah. Why? So we mentioned the Plesi because it's Blios and Blios. We mentioned Imre Baruch because of all these Chashos. Yekiv Eger here has an interesting question, which I guess we will skip for today. But one of the major discussions, the Suffolk Psik Reish is over here. Right over here, stoking the coals, I don't know if there's Bas B'chalav, right? So it should be Mutter, right? It should be Mutter. So, because it's Darvish Enem Eskabe, and I have no interest in making Bas B'chalav, and therefore, should be Darvish Enem Eskabe is Mutter. So, maybe you see from here that what's known as a Suffolk Psik Reisha, or sometimes called a Psik Reisha Shel Avar, is Asar. Meaning to say, you're right, maybe there's a 50% chance this is going to be Bishul Bas B'chalav, 50% chance it's not going to be. But whatever it is already determined. It's not something, it's not like a future act. It is what it is. In that case, maybe you have to be Machmir. Then the Rebbe Kiv Eger quotes the Taz, who's Mekel, the famous fly in the drawer Shaila, Ayin Shum. That this is a major
Ein
Kamakom Harach. Good. Chumrah number two, the din hasheni of the chumrah, the second chumrah, the Ramah from the Marivayel, is that you shouldn't mix mayim shediach ben kli basar with mayim shediach ben kli chalav and then give it to your behema to eat. So the question is like this. The question is, the Ramah says, why is this wrong? Because it's asher b'hana. Question is why? What kind of Bas B'chalav is this? Is it L'chara D'Rabbanan, right? Meaty water and milky water that you mix together, that's only D'Rabbanan. Nisa D'Rabbanan's Mutter B'hana. So the Shach says it must be talking about a case where it's hot, where it's boiling hot, meaty water, boiling hot, milky water. You mix that together, and that's what you can't... And you mix it in a Kli Rishon, and therefore it's Bishul Bas B'chalav D'Raisa. So that's a great question. So now it shouldn't be Asr just Altana. It sounds like from the Ramah this is Asr because you can't be Nana. It should be Bishol. That's Ruki Vegar's Kasha. So there are different answers. Rabbi Kiva Eger gives a whole interesting answer that there's Shishim Kenegdo, and then this gets into his whole Shishim question. But it's still Asr La'ara Lehanos Mimenu because it's Bitul Isr L'Chatchila, but there's no Isr Bishol because there's Shishim. And the Yad of Ram says, in a Hanami, according to the Shach, there would be a Nisr Bishul as well, not just a Nisr Hana. And...
Does this be right that there's no Nisr Bishul and Batalism?
No, Rebbe Kiv Eger says that the reason why it's Aser is because it is Bitul Isr L'Chatchila. Rebbe Kiv Eger, this is one of the...
How do you mix them?
What do you mean? You poured them one into the other. So there's shishim connected to the basar, there's shishim connected to the chalav. That's why, what? There's no iser bittel, iser l'chatchila for bishel. That's his point. There were not misakein bittel, iser l'chatchila for bishel, basar b'chalav. If you take a look, though, at the Isser Vehetter in the Torah Schatas, the Minchas Yaakov points out, it sounds like it's pretty clear that they are actually cold. So then why should this be answer? What about the Shach's question? Answer is, it's a Chumra Be'alma in Achanami. It's not Mikaradin. There is no Tzad Mikaradin, and that's the way, if you look at the Makor Adavar, that's what it sounds like. The third Chumra, the Ramah, is from the Maril. That they used to make shampoo out of ashes, apparently. And so they would take ashes from the bottom of their oven and mix it with other ingredients, and that would be shampoo. Now, the problem is that among your ashes, there's some chalav mixed in, there might be some basar mixed into your ashes, right? Because your pots sometimes overflow. And therefore, the kli that you use to make your shampoo should basically be treated as a treif kli and the like. Now, the question is, how could you even cook your basar b'chalav? The Ramah doesn't sound like there's any objection to making the shampoo this way. He just says treat the kli as treif. So there, so the Kriyasi Plesi asks this question, and he gives an answer, and it's from the question and an answer that we mentioned earlier that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank proves. That you see that there is an Isser Derabbanan for Bas B'chalav, even Shalola Derech Achila. Otherwise, why do the Achronim have to even answer this question? They should just simply say, shampoo is mutter to cook, because it's mutter to cook. You're not going to eat the shampoo. Fine. What is the answer that the Kresi Uplesi gives? It's because since it's basically Nifsal, B'shasa Bishol, because it's Nifgam Al-Ideh Ha'efer, it's not Derech Bishol B'kach. Finally, the fourth chumra, the Ramah, is that you shouldn't use the kalim, the pots that were put in the oven furnace, like not the oven to cook, the oven to heat, because nitzim aleihem basar and chalav. This is actually the only one of the four chumras where the Ramah actually tells you why it's only a chumra ba'alma, why it's not mikradin, and the answer is because achzuchi yisr lo machzukin and mikradin, you don't have to be choshish that meat spilled on here and milk spilled on here and the like. It's a chumra, but it's not something you have to do. Okay. Sif Zayin. So the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Bey says, Gdi l'rabos es hashalil. The shalil is the fetus. So the Gemara tells me, therefore, that if you cooked chalav with the fetus, then you're chayiv mishem bishul b'chalav, bishul bas b'chalav, if you ate it, it would be iser, achilas bas b'chalav. So here I had a question, which is that a fetus is l'chora nevela. Take a look at the machol sasuras dalet chaf aleph, right? It's not shechted. So, and yet, we're saying over here, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam says that you're chayiv, v'chein ha'ochlo. It sounds like if you eat this shalil that's cooked with milk, you're chayiv mishem achilas bas b'chalav in the Rambam. Problem is, it's against the Nekuda Nifla. Why should you be chayiv mishum achila? Oh, so that's l'chora the only answer that I could think of, which is that the case that the Rambam says when he says you're chayiv for bishul bas b'chalav for chalav bishlul is it was a ben pakua basically. You shechted the animal and then it miscarried.
You found the shlul inside.
Or the same thing, yeah. Right?
You're right.
Okay, good. So we're mechaving to the same answer. Then the Gemara says Shilya is not Basar B'chalav. Shilya is the sack. So why not? The Gemara says because it's Pirsha B'alma. What does Pirsha mean? So we're going to get back to this when we talk about cheese in a couple of minutes. But the Or Zeruah over here writes that Pirsha could have two meanings, and that's very important for the later sugi as well. Pirsha could mean davar ma'us, that's not roi l'achila, it's mufka mitaras basar, and therefore there's no basar b'chalav for the shilya because it's gross, it's garbage, it's disgusting. Or it could mean that it's nifrash min aguf. It's separate from the animal, therefore it doesn't have a din basar. Right? Those are the two meanings. Either way, it's not going to be bishul bas b'chalav. And in terms of the other halacha here, the atzamo, so we talked about that in Simen Tzadi Tes Berachava. We won't go back to that. Okay, sif ches, mei chalav. So we already mentioned this a little bit, that the Rush quotes a drasha why mei chalav is not chayav. It's because it's eino chalav hayotze min ha'em. We mentioned Shitas Ramban that it's aser anyway because of Eber ben Achai. We said that there's two reasons why we don't accept that, either because of a drasha, that's the Rush's view, or because of the Shach says simply the Gzeres HaKasav of that tells me that Chalav isn't Eiver Min Achai tells me that anything that was separated naturally from the animal isn't Eiver Min Achai. We mentioned that the Yesh Omrim in Pei Aleph is Machmir, not to do it, we're Mekel. So we won't get into those details again. What, just to translate though, what is mechalav? So l'chora mechalav means whey. Whey is the liquid remaining after the milk has been curdled and strained, which is not, right? It's if you look at whey, it's like a palish white, and because once it's curdled and strained, so most of the challah, you know, the white stuff has been taken out. That's what mechalav is according to the simple understanding. But the problem is that the Rush says this can't be correct because we know that kutach is made out of nisyove chalav, and we know that kutach, that way is called nisyove chalav. And kutach is nochiks, so it can't be. So Tosas on Kuf Yudalad Amar Aleph says in a chanami. It's only midirabanan. Even though we have all those shilas about chickens falling into kutach and bas b'chalav, that's actually only bas b'chalav midirabanan. However, the Rush, Kolobasar Simen Nun Aleph, says no. Kutach is deoraisa. Nisyove is deoraisa. So what's mei chalav that we say isn't chalav deoraisa? That's mei chalav. Meaning to say you take the whey and then you separate it again. After you make the cheese, you cook the whey, and the ochel is tzaf on top, and then you separate that. And then the water remaining, which is known as mei chalav, that's what we're talking about when we say mei chalav. Fine. Sif, tes, and yud. So just a little bit of background here. The first thing that gets everyone confused here is the vocabulary. And it's confusing because the word keva has two meanings. Keva could mean two things. Usually, outside of the sugya, when we talk about keva, we mean the fourth stomach of the cow. It means the actual stomach. However, in our simen, for the most part, when we use the word keva, we don't mean the stomach, the actual stomach. That we call the or hakeva. Sometimes we call the or hakeva keva also, but usually when we say keva, we mean not the or hakeva, but the following. If you slaughter a calf that's still nursing, right? Let's say you want veal, and now you look at the stomach. So if it's an adult cow, the stomach will be full of grass. If it's a calf, the stomach will be full of milk, right? Because that's what calves do. They don't eat grass, they suckle. They're full of milk. Now, this milk is called the keva. And it could be in two states. It could either be tzalul, like it just nursed from its mother, so now the milk will still look like milk. It actually goes straight to the fourth stomach. Or it will be karush, which means that as it's begins to become digested, it solidifies. So that is what we're talking about when we talk about keva in our simen. Now, why is this relevant? Because keva is used to make cheese. There's actually five types of ways to make cheese discussed in our simen. One is through asavim, or artificial rennet, and that obviously there's no issue of kashrus other than the gzeirav gvinas akov if you assume it's a low plug. The second is the keva. Now, if you use the keva to make cheese, also, there's generally speaking, no halachic issues. Assuming that the calf nursed from a kosher animal, so the keva is, at worst, milk. And you could use milk to make cheese. Okay, good. So, nobody says that even the fact that it's in the stomach turns it into meat. Kavash. Okay, we'll talk about kavash. Yes, you're correct. If it's a kavash shaila, simple understanding is as long as it's alive, there's no kavash. That goes back to that Lassam Sofer, the guy that fell into the well, right? For now, we're going to assume an assumption of the poskim is that we don't worry about kavash as long as the animal's alive. So you could have, I don't know.
The Gemara says that by a dog it takes 3 days, but by a cat it takes 3 days.
So maybe it's not kavash also because it's not in there for long enough. Good. But you're right, it could be a problem if you slaughtered the animal and you left the cave in there for a while. Good. That would be a shaila. We're going to get there. The next shaila is, the next way of making cheese is or hakeva. Right? Now this l'chora could present a problem of basar b'chalav, as we'll see. The next way they made cheese, and this is that they would take the or hakeva, and they would salt the keva together with the or keva. This was actually the most common way to make cheese, at least according to Wikipedia. This is going to be the major discussion in our simen, because if you assume that keva is milchiks, and then you salt it with the or keva, which is fleishiks, then l'chora you have basa b'chalav. And finally, the fifth way is...
in that last one, you're salting the or keva with the keva, and then...
Let's say you take the keva that has been salted, and you now put it in your milk. That's rennet, actually. So that would be a problem, might be a problem with basar b'chalav. And we'll discuss each case. And the fifth case is that they would dry out the or hakeva. And this, the Shulchan Aruch says, at least b'dieved is okay if it's dried out like eights. Okay, so let's...
You can replicate this. You do the same, you take it, you put in more than one thing of milk, or whatever goes in the one thing of milk, that's it.
I don't know how many times it could be replicated. It does get used up eventually.
I mean, is it like sourdough, or it's like...
No, it's not like sourdough. No. If it was, then it would be very easy.
Right, that's the thing. It seems like
It could only be... Yeah. Why do you think cheese is so expensive, especially kosher cheese? All right. So none of our cheeses, by the way, use real rennet anymore. It's all artificial rennet, except for what?
Like cheddar cheese? Nothing?
There's like super duper extra fancy French cheeses that might sometimes use, but like, you know, that's the rough story, right? Okay. So Kraft cheese. Fine. So fine. So Chazal prohibited Gayish cheese because of Kevas Nevela, the Gemara says. So if the Or HaKeva was kosher, though, then that is not the reason why Chazal assered cheese. However, it says in Sif Aleph that it's no Saint Tom, then it would be Aser. So if you take the Or HaKeva, the way we pass it in Shulchan Aruch, and we'll explain these dinim a little better in a moment, but just to get to the bottom line first and then we'll get to the details, if you take the Or HaKeva of a Nevela and you make cheese, so we pass it, it's Aser. And that's because it's a Maimid Shel Iser. But if you take the Or HaKeva of a Shchuta, so then we say it's not a Maimid. If it's no Saint Tom, it's going to be Aser, Basar B'chalav de Rabbanan, but if it's not no Saint Tom, it will be Mutter. So we'll get back to that in a minute. What's the halachic status of the Keva? So the question is, for Keva, do we say that the Keva is Pirsha, and therefore it no longer is Chalav, or do we say no, that it is Chalav? And again, the question is, could it be used as an enzyme to make cheese? So there are really four possible positions as to how to relate to keva. Rashi on Kuf Tazayin Amud Beis changed his mind about the matter. But in his conclusion is that keva has the status of milk. Okay, so keva is milk. Why not? The Rif says it's perish, it's garbage, it's yatza mitaras chalav. We'll define that in a moment. Tosfos on Kuf Tazayin Amud Beis says it depends. If it's salul, so it's still milk. Nothing really has happened. This is the milk. It just nursed 1 minute ago. Whereas if it's karush, so then it's perish, right? So halfway in between the Rif and Rashi. Now, part of this issue relates to the girsa of the Gemara. The Gemara actually says Pirsha Ba'alma. According to Rashi, you're not Goris that it's Pirsha. According to the Rif and Rabbeinu Tam, you are Goris it. The Rabbeinu Tam says you're Goris it, but it's referring to the coagulated one. If you take a look at the Sefer HaTruma, the Sefer HaTruma says you could learn like Rashi, but still say, but still be Goris it in the Gemara. How so? Because Pirsha Ba'alma, we said, has another translation. Pirsha doesn't only mean garbage, nifsal, disgusting. Pirsha means it's separated. So Tzgufo, the Gemara's Gufa, telling us, Lafuke, what you said before, right? You said before, maybe it should be Basar. That's Gufa, what the Gemara's telling you. No, it's Pirsha Ba'alma. It's not Basar, right? But that doesn't mean it's not Chalav either. It's not Basar. What is it? It's Chalav. So therefore, you could still actually be goris it and learn like Rashi. So one application of this question would be if you cooked keva together with the or hakeva, according to Rashi, this would be basar b'chalav. According to the Rif, this would be mutter. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, it would depend. If it was salal, it would be basar b'chalav. If it was karush, it would be mutter. Now Rashi then writes that he originally allowed the following thing. Originally, he said it was mutter to salt the keva with the or hakeva. But then he changed his mind and he said it was asr. So why did he originally think it was okay? Well, he originally thought it was okay because he thought that that this was pirsha, like the Rif. He originally learned, like the Rif, that keva is not milk. This is Rashi's original when he was younger. Now the problem is as follows. Even if you learn that that it's not milk, even if you learn that keva's pariv, this should still be a problem for cheesemaking. Rashi said he permitted the use of cheesemaking based off of this. Well, one second. Let's even assume that this is pariv, right? So when you salt it together with the or keva, it's boleya, the tam from the or keva, so now it becomes fleishix, and you shouldn't be able to put it into the milk to make cheese. So why did Rashi think in his youth that this was okay? So Rashi tells you the answer. He says that this is mutter because of not barnat. Why? Because the keva is basically parith. So yes, it's true, when you salt it together with the ora keva, it's boleya tam bisari, but it's adayin heter, so it's no same tam, bar no same tam. What's the tam sheni? The milk. What's the tam rishon? The pirsha, the keva. The problem with this is that this is not barnat de isura. Why? We usually assume, we'll get to not barnat, but we assume that you need not barnat de hetera, either tam sheni shel heter or tam shlishi. Let's assume tam sheni shel heter. What does that mean? It means that it goes into substance one and it's mutter. Let's take the case of the Gemara, dagim she'alu b'ka'ara. So you have a fleishik plate, plate's tam rishon, fish and tam rishon shel heter. Fish are tam sheni shel heter. Then You'd want to dip your fish in your kutach, that's tam sheni shel heter, or tam shlishi, fine. Over here, it's tam sheni shel iser. And yet Rashi says the heter is based off of not barnat. The answer seems to be, the Ramban writes, that Rashi held that taka not barnat de isura is mutter as well. He argued with all the Rishonim. That's what you see over here. Rashi changed his mind, not because he changed his mind about not barnat de isura, because he decided that keva's milchix. Fine. Now, if this is true, so then we could ask the Shaila, what about the Rif? What would the Rif hold? We know that the Rif and the Rambam and the Mechaber Paskins this way, they hold that Keva is Parava. So are they going to hold, like Rashi's Havamina, that you could salt the Keva with the Ora Keva and then use it to make cheese? So, assuming that the Rif holds that not by not the isur is asr, and we certainly pass in that way, then l'chor the answer is it should be asr. So even if you hold like the Rif, we shouldn't hold the Rashi's Havamina. However, it's not so simple. And the Beis Yosef is misupik about this. Why? Because maybe we'll say there's another reason why this should be mutter. Not because of the reason that Rashi said, because of not for not, but for a different reason. That if you assume that Pirsha's garbage, it's disgusting, it's nifsal, it's yatzimitaras ochel, so just like it is an ochel, the blios that are inside of it are an ochel. So yes, if you have tam basar, that's nivla al yedei the melicha, into the keva, and the keva is pirsha, it's garbage, it's garnished, so then you should be able to use that keva to be able to make cheese. So that's the suffik. At least that's one way to view the suffik. The Rif says we're misupik about it. We don't know, and therefore, l'chatchila, one should be machmir. Now, this might depend on the following question. That's what the Beis Yosef says. We don't know what the Rif would say. Now, what this might depend on the following question, which is, what does pirsha mean? Does pirsha mean that it's taka nifsal me'achila and totally garbage and disgusting, in which case probably it would be mutter? Or no, maybe the Rif thinks that this is not totally inedible, it's not disgusting. After all, you actually put it into cheese, right? Rather, what does it mean? It means that it's panim chadashos ba'olakan, it's omeid, it's already partially, it's omeid, it's being transformed into something else, and therefore it's no longer milk anymore. Even if it's not nifsal, it's not milk, right? It's transformed. And we actually have this idea of pirsha meaning to say something that's in the process of a transformation, at least according to some Rishonim, in a number of other places. Just to give you one possible example, there's a famous machlokas Rishonim about the halachic status of musk. Now, the shaila is as follows. The Gemara says you can make a bari minei b'samim on musk. Can you eat musk? Might have even been an ingredient in the Ketores. So, can you eat musk? So, what is musk? So, it comes from the sweat of a non-kosher animal, or even a kosher animal, and it's because the way Chazal at least understood it is, it's the blood of a animal turns into musk. And musk is used as a perfume. You've heard of like the fragrance musk? So, originally, musk, it has the same word in Hebrew and English and Aramaic. It's a very convenient word. So why is it a halachic shaila for kashrus? Because musk comes from blood, and blood is usser. So maybe musk should be usser. So, we're out of time, so I'm going to tell you the short version. Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos says that musk is okay. Why? Because it's pirsha be'alma. And then he says, for that same reason, you're allowed to eat honey. If you ever made honey, you would probably notice that there are bees that are left in honey. You come back a couple weeks later and they're gone. What happened? They dissolved. Well, how is that kosher? You have bees in your honey now. So he says, no, just like in musk, it's pirsha, panim chadashos ba'olakan. It's a new thing. The Ramah disagrees, and the Rush says, Raya Satsach Raya, you're bringing me a Raya from bees to musk. Who says bees are mutter? Now, the Magen Avraham says the following. The Magen Avraham says that Bishlama, you could say, if Pirsha means it's disgusting, fine. But at least in the case of honey, it's not disgusting. Who says it becomes Nifsal in the middle? So the Gra is Miyashev. The Gra sounds like he's saying Taka becomes Nifsal in the middle. But if you look at the Makoros, and the Chazon Ish points this out, it sounds like Rabbeinu Yonah's Matir, even if it doesn't become Nissal in the middle, right? Because Panim Chadashos Ba'olakan, Pirsha means, according to Rabbeinu Yonah at least, that when something is transformed from one thing to another, if it's going from non-kosher, if it was originally a non-kosher thing, and now it's something else, something different, even if it was never Nissal in the interim, it's kosher. Now this is the reason why the Chazon Ish, more or less, was makel for gelatin as well. This comes up in the gelatin shaila. But anyway, if you understand that the pshat over here in Pirsha is not that it's disgusting, but that it is panim chadashos ba'olakan, it's no longer milk, now it's keva, so then that might be true even if it's not nifsal in the middle. Now, if so, so then you can't use the heter of you can't use the heter any longer of nifsal, and the only heter would be because of what? Because of napach, right? Or not barnat, if you think not barnat. So let's talk about that for a moment. So this shaylah, whether pirsha is disgusting or not, in other words, is a heter of the rif based off of the fact that it's becoming disgusting or based off of panim chadash balukan, comes up in a couple of places in our simanim. If you notice, there's a machlokas, two deos in the Shulchan Aruch. What's the halacha if it went from tzolol to coagulated, this is Bedas Rabbeinu Tam, after you already were moleach it? So now, it should l'chora depend on the shayla. If you think that, the heter, you know what, I don't want to make everybody late for mincha. All right, well, we'll start with this next time, Bezras Hashem. Next time, on Monday, we will finish Simon Pezayin Bezras Hashem, and we will also probably do most of Peches as well. Okay, and Bezras Hashem, tonight at my place at 8:15. Okay. Freilich and Purim. Bring your own bagpipes.